How's everybody doing?
Amen. Great.
Yeah. Wasn't worship delightful?
Yes.
Love it. A couple of things coming up. Next week is the first Sunday of Advent. It just jumped on us this year. Or me, anyway. My goodness. So Advent is the coming of Jesus, and so we celebrate his first coming, and we look forward to his second coming, and we look forward to celebrating Christmas. So Christmas season starts next week. I'm not ready. The kids' play is going to be up on the 20th, so that's always a highlight of the year, invite kids' grandparents and parents out. Invite your friends out. It's always a good time. I have a friend, Norm, who looks forward to it every year. He's lived on the street. He was a heroin addict, and now he's living clean and free of all of that stuff because of Jesus, and he loves the story. He cries every year. He's a tough guy, done some awful things, but just touches him somewhere. Eh? Yeah, you gotta love him. Yeah, that's right. The women's gala, Christmas fun time, whoopee party this Friday. Yeah, I don't need a teleprompter. I have a wife. Christmas Eve service will be guess what night. Christmas Eve, very good. You guys aren't sleeping. So 24th, it's one of the best of the year. It's just scripture and song. It's so much fun. It's an early service. It'll be in your bulletin, but you won't want to miss that. I have something from the Word today that I just love God for doing, you know? He is so neat. He is so wonderful. Turn to 1 Chronicles, Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 13, and we're gonna talk about some stuff. But sometimes in the Word, things are obscure a little bit. You got to kind of hunt them out. It's not just everything's there in a succinct package. You got to kind of look into it a little bit. It's terrible. A little bit of work. But what a benefit it is when you do. I was thinking about a friend and that it's his birthday today. Obed, our good pastor, is his, it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Obed.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
He's half my age, and he's pastored longer than me. I don't know how that works, but hallelujah. This story is about a guy called Obed Edom. See how? Yeah. See how I transition so smoothly? I'm a professional, folks. Don't try this at home. Obed-Edom. It says in 1 Chronicles 26:5 that God had blessed Obed-Edom. God had blessed him. And what a wonderful phrase that is. It's right in the middle of a whole bunch of names and all that kind of stuff, and you kind of miss it if you're just reading through like I usually do. but this year it caught me again, and I just love what God does. So I looked up Obed-Edom. Obed is a word that means a servant or worker. So our Obed is a servant of you all. And I'm going to try and out-servant him. You know, he who serves last is the winner. That's the Christian life. Amen. We're here to serve. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And so do we. Obed means to serve. Edom is enemies of Israel. God wanted them wiped out. They were a bad bunch. They were the descendants of Esau. You know, Jacob and Esau, sons of Isaac. Esau sold his birthright for some porridge. Kind of lost out there. Although porridge on a cold day is very good. But they were always causing Israel issues. But Obed-Edom was also a Gittite and from a place called Gath, G-A-T-H. You may have heard of that before. Goliath was from Gath. Goliath, the sworn enemy of David. David took his head off in a their only wrestling match. Did a good job. But Obed-Edom carries all of that with him. Obed-Edom, just his name, would make David not want to associate with him. David, the same guy who had to face Goliath of Gath, the same guy who was fighting the Edomites, he sees Obed-Edom, and when he passes his house, he's got to be thinking, ah, oh, an Edomite. But Obed also was a Levite by genealogy, a Levite who could minister before the Lord. It was legal, right? So he had all kinds of things in his background. Any of you have all kinds of things in your background? Obed-Edom is a hero to those of us who have backgrounds. Those of us who maybe have histories that we want to have wiped out so that we can move into the blessings. But God blessed Obed-Edom. Powerful, powerful statement. 1 Chronicles 13. I'm going to head there right now. You probably are ahead of me. 1 Chronicles 13:13. We're going to. Come in. It's wonderful to command a machine. Never does what I want. So David did not take the ark home into the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Oh, 13:13. Little history. The Ark of the Testimony. The most sacred thing in Israel was used improperly by the army of Israel and was taken captive by the Philistines. But the Philistines kind of gave it to their god Dagon as a reward for being such a good god. And Dagon, the next morning, was found on his face, having toppled over in the presence of the ark. There was something powerful about it. Well, the Philistines propped old Dagon back up, like you have to do with your gods every now and then, and left him with the ark one more night. The next night, Dagon's head and his hands were chopped off as he fell. So there was no more propping old Dagon up. And so they took the ark, this thing that had caused their almighty God a problem, and they put it on a cart and sent it off to go see if it would go back to Israel. Now they had a special test. They put a nursing cow to lead the cart and kept its baby at home, and a nursing cow will never leave its baby. So this one did, and it took it off in the direction of Israel. It's a wonderful story. Pick it up. I haven't got time to tell you the whole story. But the ark got to a certain house, certain place, a farm. And it was kept there for a while David figured out what to do with it, because he knew that the ark was back in Israel's presence. And so what to do with it? David knew that it was special and wonderful and wanted to have a glorious re-entry into the lives of Israel for the ark of the covenant. This wonderful thing. And so he arranged for a parade. And they made a new cart for it. And they had drivers picked out, and the dancers and musicians and all of that to take it back to Jerusalem. So they go and pick it up, and they're on their way. And now these aren't Lexuses that we're talking about that are carrying the ark. You know, it's not smooth driving. This was a wooden-wheeled cart. And so if it goes over something, it bounces around. The ark got jostled, and one of the drivers, Uzzah, reached out to steady it and was killed instantly. Huh. David's perplexed. His party is wrecked. You know, your party gets wrecked if somebody dies in the middle of it. Just pretty natural. So David's celebration is history. And he doesn't know what to do with this thing. So they're right by the house of Obed-Edom. This guy carries the name of his enemies. But David has just seen his party wrecked and somebody die because of this thing. And so he leaves it with Obed-Edom. I don't know whether he was trying to bless him or curse him. It doesn't say. So he leaves it there and everybody goes away. We'll figure it out later, David says. Good leader. Kind of my leadership style. So they all went away, and Obed-Edom has this thing at his house. But turns out that Obed-Edom is a Levite. He can have it in his house. As a Levite, they could minister to in the presence of the ark. As a Levite, he could actually touch the ark, which Uzzah could not. So when he's vacuuming and you got to move it to get up, Obed-Edom was a servant, right? Good vacuumer. So he wouldn't die immediately when he touched it. Turns out to be a good call. In this place, Obed-Edom is blessed. Huh. It left it with Obed-Edom in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of God, this is verse 14 of 1 Chronicles 13. The ark of God remained with the household of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Whoo! So much for curse. So much for history. Now what you got happening here is bigger than it looks. Because the ark was not supposed to be outside of the tent and behind a special curtain. People were not to have access to it. But David has seen something, and he's about to—he's building this tent or the tabernacle of David, which was a precursor, a picture, something that David had seen of our day. There was no curtain here. The ark was to be available, and it's not in there yet. But David had seen this thing where there would be free and open worship and that God would be glorified openly and 24 hours a day, and that the ark would be available for, and the glory of God would be available, that the tabernacle of David was magnificent. And he had seen that he could do this thing. And Obed-Edom benefits from that because he has open and free access to the presence of God. God was about this Ark of the Covenant. His presence was there. Now, the Ark, you got to understand, is made of acacia wood. It's about 3.5 feet long and 2.5 feet deep and 2.5 feet 2.5 feet wide, 2.5 feet deep, 2.25 feet deep. Sorry, 2.25, 2.25, and 3.5. And it's made of acacia wood, and inside it is the law. The law is there. That's why Uzzah couldn't touch it. There's anybody who touched it, there was consequences dealing with this thing. And the law must be obeyed, and there must be an answer to this thing. So God is there with the law. But the ark is covered with pure gold around it, the same size as the Ark of the Covenant. And the top of it, they call the place of atonement or the mercy seat. And God's promise is that I will speak to you from above the mercy seat. So what's this that we see here? We see the law covered by mercy. Fully covered by mercy. What's that a picture of? Jesus. The future. Mercy triumphs over justice. Over judgment. Mercy. The place where God wanted to talk to people. The pure gold covering the law. An amazing picture of what was to come for all of us. Now, we live in that, so it's not a big deal. But they were still in a visitation culture where God would visit people and strengthen them for a moment or a day or whatever, like he would do with Samson and, you know, those guys. And would come upon them for a prophecy or those kind of things. But here in Obed-Edom's house, it was a habitation culture. God and his presence were there. A picture of how we live. Now, Obed-Edom would have had a choice. What do I do with that? For I am a foreigner. I am the enemy of Israel. I am, David wouldn't like me no matter what I did. But he chose to take advantage of the presence. And it was a life-changing experience for him. Life-changing. I had a life-changing experience when I went to Toronto, the Toronto blessing. God touched me in a way and showed me his love in a way that wrecked me for the rest of my life. I have lived my life since then so that others can enjoy that too. All about the presence. All about being with him. All about experiencing his love. Well, Obed-Edom had that kind of an experience. And so, seven things, very quickly, and I've got to go quickly. That he got to experience here. So the first one is that the Ark of the Covenant is open presence of God. He got to experience the presence of God, and that wrecked him for the rest of his life. Whatever he was doing before that, he committed his life and his purposes to being around that ark. Something so significant happened to him. Changed everything that he was about. Him and his household. Because we'll read that his household was blessed too. All of his descendants were blessed. His history was wiped out and he became a man of God. So we look to, if you wanted to move to 2 Samuel 6:12. Now David heard about this. It says, and it was told King David that the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God. The picture here is that you and all that belongs to you are blessed because of the presence of God who lives in you currently.
Thank you, Lord.
You are blessed. Do you choose to walk in that? Do you choose to believe that? Do you choose to acknowledge that? Your choice. You can remain the way you are, whoever it was that was debauchery, you know. You can stay there if you want. Or you can move out and enjoy the freedom and wonder and blessings that are there for you. So quickly I'll move to back to 1 Chronicles, this time 15 and verse 17. So David comes and he gets the ark from Obed-Edom. But Obed-Edom is addicted to the presence of God. So he follows the ark back to Jerusalem. Now it's a story how it gets there, and there's all kinds of problems with one of David's wives and terrible stuff. Anyway, so the Levites appointed Haman Heman, the son of Joel and his brothers, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and the sons of Merari and their brothers, and blah, 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 blah. And we'll see that if you move right down to verse 18, it says, and the gatekeepers, Obed-Edom and Jael.
Hallelujah.
Obed-Edom, this enemy of God, is appointed because he's gaga over the presence. They say, well, we need a gatekeeper. Why don't you stay out there? Like you're still an Edomite, you know. Why don't you stay out there, but you can still be sort of close to the ark. And so being a servant, Obed, he says, sure, I'll serve anywhere I can. You want me to clean toilets? Whatever I can do. Whatever I can do, I'll do that. So he's a gatekeeper. Second thing, that you know, he moves from the presence to becoming a gatekeeper. Then we move to 1 Chronicles 15:21, and it says, they had all these guys, and Obed-Edom were to lead with electric guitars, according to Sheminith. So he moves from a gatekeeper to an electric guitar player. In front of, don't your Bibles say electric guitar? I read from the Amplified Bible. So if you didn't get that, try it later. He's playing the harp or the lyre in front of God. He's a musician now. He's moved from a gatekeeper because people can see what's going on in his life. This guy was blessed. His household was blessed. Everything he touched was blessed. And now he's a gatekeeper and he's telling the story to everybody that's coming in. Yeah, that was me. That was my house, you know, and I was so glad to serve him. Oh, his presence was so, I could tell you stories about the presence of God. He's telling them all of that stuff. And so the priests figure, whoa, we better make this guy a musician in front of the presence of God. He's going to wreck everybody that comes in the gates. So the third thing, because he's faithful to serve and to do what he's supposed to be doing, he moves from gatekeeper to musician. And then 1 Chronicles 15:24, it says, blow the trumpets before the ark of God. Obed-Edom and Jehiah, different guy, were to be doorkeepers. It says gatekeepers here, but the word is different. Becomes a doorkeeper for the ark. It's not a gatekeeper out at the far. He's moving closer and closer to where the ark is. Wow. He's being trusted more and more as he moves on. And so he becomes, one, two, three, four, this is the fourth one. He's a doorkeeper. D.L. Moody said, great occasions for serving God come seldom, but little ones surround us daily. And attention to those little ones position you for promotion. So then we move over to, and I'm hurrying, believe me. We move over to 1 Chronicles 16:4. Jerry, maybe you can tell them to let the kids come up, you know, a couple minutes if they're ready. So then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord. These are guys right in front of the ark to thank and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. And who do we see amongst the group but Obed-Edom? Oh, my goodness. He's worked his way right into the presence again. That guy is something else. He's right before the ark. You position yourself for promotion by attending to God. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, you can look it up. I'm just going to move along. 1 Chronicles 16:38 now. We see we're up to number 6 of Obed-Edom's life. And David left Asaph and his brothers before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister regularly before the ark as each day required, and also Obed-Edom and his, now get this, and his 68 brothers. Now that word brothers is brothers in kind, not blood brothers. And his 68 brothers, well, Obed-Edom, the son of Jethunah, and were to be gatekeepers. So Obed-Edom now is a leader. He's still a minister before, right before the ark, but he's done it so well that they made him a leader of other leaders. He has 68 leaders following him. 68 others that are trusted in front of the Ark of the Covenant, the most precious thing in Israel. Obed-Edom had been found faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Not appointed all at once to this place. He just showed that he was going to be there continually. And the final one is 2 Chronicles 25:24. Come on. 2 Chronicles. So we're out of 1 Chronicles. We're in 2 Chronicles 25:24. Come in. Now get this. And he seized all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God in the care of Obed-Edom. You know what's happening here? David has asked people to prepare to build the temple, Solomon's temple. They figured that it would have cost about $2.5 billion in our today's money to build the ark, or to build the temple. David has gathered all the money, asked people not to bring in any more offerings, and he has to have somebody take care of $2.5 billion. Who do you call on? The greatest treasure that the world had ever seen up to that point. We need somebody trustworthy to take care of this for us. Who are we going to use? Obed-Edom. Seven different times, Obed-Edom has moved up. Now, you miss it if you don't go looking for it. But in there is a picture for us all. Powerful picture. From obscurity, as a matter of fact, from a place of enmity with God. God sees the heart of the man. And he promotes him. And he promotes him a step at a time. You be faithful with little, I'll give you much. We can see that throughout the New Testament. God says the guy's faithful with 10 talents, he gives him 10 cities. You know, like, just, he takes this Obed-Edom and he blesses him. But he doesn't just bless him, he blesses all of his family. Because you'll also see, we're not going into it right now, but all of his sons worked in the temple as well. All of his brothers, he had eight, there were eight brothers in Obed-Edom's family. All of them attended to God because of Obed-Edom, and his sons after them attended to God. His household, his family was blessed. He was blessed in the field, and he was blessed in his household. He was blessed going. He was blessed coming. Obed-Edom was looked at by everyone as a blessed, favored man. From obscurity to that, because he loved the presence and was found faithful. Is that a picture of what the Christian life can be? Is that a picture of what our lives can be? That is so wonderful and so powerful. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've come from. If it looks like your family were all God haters, God can wipe that out. Not just in a generation, but in a couple of years. So that nobody remembers that stuff. But they all look at the enormity of the blessing that you live in. The blessing that you and your family walk in. It's a delightful, delightful picture. And it's available to us all. If we'll but, the word was, open our hearts to him this morning, Jane. Is that what you started with? If we'll but open our hearts to him and value that presence of God. And the presence is where we get to in worship. You want to be here right from the beginning of worship. You want to enjoy all of the worship because the presence is so sweet, so wonderful, so delightful. If you will see that and honor that and be faithful as God begins to promote you, you will see a difference in your life, and everyone around you will see that difference as well. It's so encouraging. So encouraging. I can't tell you how excited I get when I look at it. A picture for us, a hidden picture of how God plans to use Christians. Because he was a precursor of the Christian day. This stuff didn't happen back then. But David had a picture of what true worship would be. And Obed-Edom got to experience living in the presence of God 24/7. No one else had done that. It's an amazing, amazing, encouraging picture for us. So stand with me, and I'm going to pray with you that you'll get that. And worship team, maybe we could sing a song.
Praise.
Yeah. Praise Him in His presence. Praise Him in His sanctuary.
Yes, hallelujah.
Let everything and everyone who has breath praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, thank you for this picture of Obed-Edom, a servant of Edom, servant of something other than you that is turned, Lord, and becomes a well-known minister to the Almighty. Lord, that's available to each one here. We pray, Father, that as you've opened our hearts in worship, that we would make a place for you, and that we would come after you and desire to be around you more and more all the time. And in that, to be found faithful, O God, as your servant in the household of God. You are amazing, Lord, and you give us this beautiful, beautiful picture. Thank you for Obed-Edom, Lord. We'll meet him one day. And I honor him. We honor him as a hero in the faith. Someone who saw something way ahead of their time and unrelentingly moved toward it. So I pray, Lord, that each one here, we would catch that flame, and that we would desire to move unrelentingly toward you and to foster your presence and to keep your presence special and to look for your presence in everything that we do. I pray that you would pour that out on each one here, Lord, and that we would be found faithful in the little things, but ready if a big thing comes. Thank you for this picture and for this life. And I thank you for each one that's here, Lord. Now receive our praises, we pray. In Jesus' name.